Now, please, I'm taking time to explain the principle. So desires come from images we have around. Are you getting my point? This is what godliness is. And that's what we read from Romans chapter 12. That we reform our desires from the word of God. Do you understand the point I'm making? That we do what? We reform our desires with God's word. And I said we should open somewhere. Now, let's quickly read it. Daniel chapter 9. It's in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now notice verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said and all of those things. Now what I want to bring out from here is this. Daniel was in captivity. We know the story of Daniel. He was taken into captivity as a young boy. Remember? At this particular point in time, he must have been about the age of 80, thereabout. Because he came in as a young boy, a teenager, we believe. 70 years after is what he's describing now. So he must have been 80 something when he began to pray this prayer. And it never, look, Daniel didn't just wake up to say, now let us pray that Israel might be delivered. It was while studying that he discovered that Israel must be delivered at this particular point in time. Are you getting my point? Listen, Daniel's prayer was not motivated by the desire to leave Babylon. It was motivated by the fact that he had studied and discovered that what God planned, you know, there's one scripture we quote all the time, Jeremiah chapter 11. Is it in chapter 29? I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good. Read it in context. You know what God said to them? He said, you know, because they have had all kinds of prophets telling them that, you know, at that time, siege was being built around, war was on them. So Jeremiah was telling them, all of you, get up, go out and follow the Babylonians, that they will defeat us. Now, listen to me. I'm telling you. He was a prophet. God had told him that you guys have sinned. The land must enjoy Sabbath. You are owing the land 70 Sabbaths. So all of you are going to captivity for 70 years. And said, no matter how much you resist, these people are going to take over. They even imprisoned him for weakening the morale of the soldiers. He said, look, it's what God has said. All this fighting won't get us anywhere. Let's all pack and follow them and go to captivity gently. And for those who were going to captivity, he told them, when you get there, don't worry. Well, as soon as you get there, buy land. Build houses, plant vineyards, make plans to stay for long. That's what he was saying. He now said, look, I know the thoughts I have towards you. You know, we usually quote it that God wants good things for us. That is true. But in the context in which he spoke, that scripture was quoted, it was written. He said that go into captivity. You will stay there for a long time. I'm doing this for your good. I know the thoughts I have towards you. Those who don't understand will have prayed. Let us pray. We are people of God. We can pray. And these Babylonians will go away. Listen, there was a time it was good for them to go away when Hezekiah prayed. It was the Assyrians. Is that okay? But this time around, it's not going to work like that. You guys have brought issues to a head. You have to go into captivity. Now, it was in that captivity that Daniel now read. That Jeremiah had said, it was Jeremiah that he read. He said, I read in the books that the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah said, we'll be here for 70 years. And he noticed that 70 years were complete. So he began to pray out deliverance. He began to pray to the end that they might be delivered. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, his request was not motivated by his personal desires, but was motivated by the word that he had discovered. Let me say something to you about as Christians. I said something said last time. Let me emphasize again. That it is not possible for believers, as a Christian, for you to do well in life, if discoveries from the word of God is not primary to your life, it's not possible. Look, the Bible said there is a proper procedure for every event. You know, I say it all the time. Again, let me use this marriage thing as an example. Have you seen a bride prepare for marriage? They will learn all kinds of good there is that time. The gold where she not wear before, she will discover it. There's Brazilian gold, there's English gold, there's Arabian gold, there's American gold, you know, South African gold. They will discover it. Why? So that they will wear a ring that very commonly thief can collect the next day. You know that? Everywhere they go, now decoration they go take, I look. Color combination. You know, when I hear women give you color, they fear. Beige, turquoise, you know, colors that men don't know exist. If you ask a man, I'll point to beige. He said, what did you say? Beige. He said, which football club is that one? Now, you're following what I'm trying to explain. All these preparations because of one day. But I always say, look, listen. We don't ask questions. I've seen a lot of women, you know, complain. My wife and I were talking about some issues a few days ago. Women complain about their husbands. Young women, not old women, young women. A husband will not they come house. Husband will they womanize. I say, wait. I told my wife, I said, let's say the truth. So let's tell ourselves the truth. This man didn't surprise these girls. I hope you know that. They didn't. They did it. When they were preparing the marriage, he was hiding text messages. No, usually there's no surprise in it. They know. After all, na club in a meet. So why do you think you stop going to club because he has married you now? You want to now drag him to church. Why didn't you meet him in church? Did you meet in church? No, we human beings will behave very funny. He doesn't come to church. Wait. When he was chasing you about, was it church he used to come to? No, you know, people, they really make me laugh. You know what I mean? Like, pastor, I don't know what is going on. Are you out of your mind? You don't know what is going on. When you were running up and down, praising ring, you should have come to settle down. Go for Bible studies and ask what marriage is. Then the first thing they will have told you is that, oh boy, oh girl, this guy is not going to change. Then you will now make up your mind. Do I want to marry a womanizer or not? Now, please, I'm explaining the principle here. That is, there is a proper procedure for everything. Now, that's an extreme, all right? Let's talk to ourselves as Christians as an example. Let's use things that are more spiritual and more godly. Ministry as an example. There is a proper procedure. And like I told you last time, it used to amaze me when I would be talking to ministers and I was not even what you call a full-time minister. And they won't even know a lot of things that I know. Then how do you know what is right to do and what is wrong to do? I'm sorry to say, a lot of prayers people pray are not necessary. I prayed for 4 days for God to reveal this one to me. Hey, 4 full days. If he had called me, I would have told you in 4 minutes. Why? Because there is a proper procedure which we could easily have learned by studying the Word of God. Please, I hope you are following me what I'm saying. Look, this is how prayer works. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right? It's not based on desires. Those ones that are motivated purely by desires are the ones that you have faith in. You have difficulty in stirring up your faith to download, if you know what I'm trying to explain, to bring forth results. The ones that are based upon discoveries of what God said you should have, those ones, your faith will never change. That's why I told you, look, it wasn't like I wanted to be rich, or this one, I like, no. One day I was studying, and the scripture jumped off from the pages. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Since then, till now, it's not possible, you can never persuade me that God wants me to be poor in life. It's not possible. Why? I discovered it. It was a discovery. It leapt off from the pages into my face. Do you get the point I'm making? Look, that's how it works with prayer. That's how it works with everything in life. I was saying something before I came back here again. Let me just get back to it. That there's a proper procedure for everything. The young woman who wants to marry, running up and down, praising gown. Nothing wrong with praising gown, but I think you put 10 times that amount of energy into asking yourself, what exactly does it mean to be a wife? What should I expect of my husband? And believe me, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, if a man is not willing to learn, then please don't marry him. Let me tell you, people say that a nice man, look, a nice man or nice woman, all right? They are good people, right? But they are inferior to those who are willing to learn. Far inferior. One group of people I could never stand. All right? especially as a young man. I'm still young, all right, but as a single man, when I was on campus, shortly after I left school and all of that, what I couldn't stand were Christians who didn't have any respect for the word of God. You rather go and watch football than listen to a message. Look, I have a testimony in the area of marriage, all right, as an example. A few days ago, my wife said, thank you. I said, thank you for what? She said, for not giving me the kind of headache that women have every day. Now, the headache she's talking about, she's seen in believing men, believing women, and non-believing women. Headaches with husband, headaches with in-laws, and stuff like that. And she said, thank God that you never allowed me to have this kind of headaches. This is the interesting part. When we first met, when we were planning to get married, and shortly after we married, she used to think, in fact, she made a statement one day, all right? This is just to help you explain. She said, you are the oddest Christian I've ever met. I've never seen a Christian like you. But there's a reason why she said that. She looked at it that this man, if I remember one day she asked me, are you saying everybody is wrong and you are right? Let me not waste time telling you the details of how I answered her. I've said, told you before. In effect, yes. If they differ, I'm not right, and they are wrong. But the word I have told you is right. Anybody who agrees with this word is right. Since I'm in agreement with this word, I am right. Whether they are wrong or not is dependent upon whether they agree with this word or they disagree. I'm not judging them. I'm not better than them. The issue is that I'm not giving you thoughts that came from my head. As time began to pass, she saw men who were not odd like me. And she saw the kind of problems their wives were having. Some of them her friends. And I remember some of the statements she would make. With my husband, this can never happen. With my husband, this can never happen. And I said, you see, it is to you according to your faith. What I'm going to explain is this. It is not because I'm a strong man, okay? It is because I believed certain things and they were playing out in my life. I don't know whether you're following what I'm going to explain. The way I operate marriage as an example, I didn't see anybody to show me as an example when I started believing it. It was from just studying the scriptures. Basically, the two shall become one flesh. I never understood when a man and a woman say, this is my money. You know, women's not like they testify. You know, my husband knows all the money that I have. I give my husband money anytime he asks for it. My husband says, your testimony does not impress me. You still have control over that money. You haven't gotten anywhere yet. And they're testifying like, you know, I'm a good woman. I don't hide my money from my husband. Anytime he wants me, he knows I have my money. If we can, I give him money when he asks my husband that, you are still the one controlling the money. You need to be baptized and be saved. No, really. I learned all of those things then. The way I operated, I never thought, you understand, like you're doing your wife a favor. You know, when, okay, this is why you're too demanding, self. Demanding of who? I can complain that my wife is not a good manager or some resources, but like too demanding of me for her own money. Are you out of your mind? How can my bank manager say, I'm too demanding of my own money I put in the bank? Okay, it's my own. It's my own. Now, you're getting the principle. One day somebody came to our house, looked at my phone, and remarked that, how come, it was telling my wife, it was the only one young woman, how come your phone is always finer than your husband's? No, she saw the lady saw the old phone where they used that time. He said, Mama, see your phone as a fine. See your husband's phone as a fine. He said, that he only uses Tokumbo phone. That is when I have finished with the phone, I drop it. That's when he picks it. Then he buys a new one for me. And that's always been the issue. In fact, somebody always said that, you know, like that my wife only drives a better car than me. And no, my principle has been from time. You know my principle? The woman is the glory of the man. Period. It's always been with me like that. One day I got to a filling station. One policeman saw me. Either it's because of the car I was driving or my wife was in that same station. He said, you are this madam's husband? He said, I'm very pleased to meet you. One mobile policeman in one filling station there. Oh, he might talk plenty. He said, anytime a person see your wife, you know she's married to a blessed man. I said, in my mind, good. Very good. Very, very good. And my, look, listen. How did I, look, I hear of men that, you know, you see a man driving around and the woman is suffering about. One day I was in a place. You know, something happened. A friend of mine were there together. And we inside, you know, we went for a function. And it was raining. It was raining. So we're under canopies. And I saw the woman, like, trying to find where to stay out of the rain. And she didn't have a seat. So in the corner of my eye, I just glanced at the husband. You know what I expected? I expected him to get up because he was sitting in a dry area on a seat. And I was kind of unconsciously waiting for him to get up and give his wife the seat. Because that's what I would do. And he reminded, and continued to turn to me and we'll continue talking. I was so embarrassed. So after a while, I gently, because I didn't want to embarrass him by giving his wife my seat. I think, I can't remember what I finally did. But I couldn't bear it. After a while, okay, let's try and shift. Okay, sit down here meanwhile. But I was thoroughly embarrassed that you are seated in a dry spot. Your wife is standing, being beaten by the rain because she couldn't find a decent place to stand. And you're comfortable. Listen, how did I become like that? You're a very nice guy. But I discovered from the scriptures. And believe me, God, I give you the glory. I'm not trying to brag. I insist because this is the way it is. I'm telling you and I'm firm about it. I'm not trying to brag. All right? The fact is that I'm not the one doing it. It is God that is working in my life because I have believed certain things. That's what I insist upon. It's not my hard work. It is God working in my life because I believed certain things. Let me tell you the way the word works. What God does is that the Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. There's a reason why I'm going to all of these things. Because we're talking about warfare. We're concluding it. Because when we war as believers, first we must know what is ours that we are claiming and the proper procedure for fighting our battles. Are you getting my point? If you see through it, everything that's our weapons there is based upon our knowledge of God. It said, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. You know, let me leave this theoretical basis. I'm trying to come down. You know, I said that's what I want to do. Explain the practical things about it. Number one, it must be the quest of your heart. People ask me then, what do you like in a woman? Some people say, I like a woman to be tall and this and dark and fair. No, I never said so. I had a number of parameters. I wasn't trying to be spiritual, but they were the things that were important to me. I said, number one, whichever woman I will marry must love God, and that must be reflected, most importantly, in her desire to know the word of God. And it will be shown by how she goes after it. The fastest way to lose me as a single man, if you be a young woman that time, show me that, maybe I said that, there's this program, there's this man is teaching, let us go. And he said, and I plan to do my hell. I no go quarrel, you no go just see me again. I told you that so and so person is coming to town. Maybe like last time that Miles Monroe came. You know Miles Monroe was around some time ago. Let's ask my now run down and say, Sister Agnes, as an example. Miles Monroe is in town. Miles Monroe, come. Let's go and listen to his things and so and so place. He said, I know today's my friend's birthday and we're the one that are doing the cooking. I go, look you. If we're just getting to know each other, I'll just carry my bag. My Bible, I go my Bible, my meeting. That your house, I know will come again. But if you say we know each other well, you know what I'm going to do? I go abuse you thoroughly. By the time you finish, you have a choice of two. Either you follow me, go, or tell me I'm insulting you. If you tell me I'm insulting you, I take the same course. I go away, I don't come back. You follow me, go, you have repented. How can Miles Monroe come from, when again in your life are you planning to see him? That was my problem. When again in your life, are you planning to see the man? No, to me, that was just an attitude. That was my attitude. Because I feel like, look, this is precious now. This is precious. This is life. Wisdom spoke. He said, with me is long life. Do you get my point? Abundance of gold and silver, they are with me. And wisdom has come to town, and you say you want to go and do your hair. I told her, I don't give out people books free. I don't like it. Those who I give books for free are those who are willing to buy it. You see, I don't have money yet. When I have money, how much are books? How much are Bibles? To everyone who has a phone, and who has ever bought a recharge card, and who comes to Kingdom World Ministries and doesn't have every single book Pastor Banky has written, the person is not a serious person. Now, where you are sitting, I'm telling you, I am accusing you that you're unserious. Because if you think I speak seriously enough for you to leave what you are doing on Saturday evening and go up here, then you are a lazy, what do you call that animal that hangs upside down? Sloth, right? You're a lazy sloth for showing up here, all right? Believing you can hear something from my mouth, and you have not read the books that I have written. What's wrong with you? People have testified that when they are reading what I wrote, it's as if I'm there talking. Look at all of you nodding. I wish the camera could catch your heads. Do you understand my point? Therefore, I find it strange for a man who claims he wants to hear me. All right? That's why people could show up and tell they want to ask me for counsel. Why do you think I can counsel you? They've listened to me on radio. Do you have this book? You haven't read this. You haven't read this song. You haven't read this book. I mean, no. I won't talk to you. Ask those who have tried. I will not talk to you. I will not talk to you. You want to waste my time. It's a waste of my time. You want me to counsel you personally? What am I going to tell you that I have not written in a book? Many times, not once, not twice. People have come and said that they want to talk to me about issues. I say, have you read this? Have you read this? I say, no, go and read it. Then we'll come back and talk. They will come. No, sir. That talk is no longer necessary. Because I read this, and read that, and that's it. You've answered all my questions. Therefore, it's a commandment I'm giving you. If you say you are a Christian and you are serious, you must buy a book regularly. I can give you a list of at least 30 authors that you will buy and they will change your life. Kenneth Hagin writes very well. His materials are beautiful. There are plenty. Look, let me not start now. But if I start giving the list of Derek Prince is a beautiful writer, or was in his days, but his books are still around. Derek Prince, Kenneth Hagin, those people, fundamentals of faith, they will shape your life thoroughly. If you enter my room, this is not a joke, you can ask my wife. Books lie around. And I like the, sometimes I wake up during the night. I see my wife, she's lying down there, and she's reading a book. The way we even read, sometimes we read halfway through, drop it, pick another one. Because some of the books I have read before, I just pick and I read a bit again. Why? Because without the knowledge of the word of God, I don't have my strategy for warfare. They are weak. I start fighting things that I am not supposed to fight, and I will be losing battles in areas that I'm supposed to be fighting. Look, those days, before I had the opportunity to teach series like this, when people invited me to come and preach, they give me 1 hour. The only thing I used to do was to insist and teach them hard that they should go out there and go and read. There's a scripture I want us to read. My time is fast gone. Quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me start from verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words..." Now, let me tell you something here. Notice this. When you say love the Lord, you know, unconsciously we interpret it as human beings. Oh, I love the Lord. If I just saw him right now, give him a big hug. That's what we think loving the Lord is. All right? Oh, if you love the Lord, you'll be willing to give him anything. Oh, I love the Lord. I can give him anything. My head, my leg, I love the Lord. It's easy to say because you know it's not going to demand your head. It's very easy to say because it's not going to demand your legs. It's very easy to say it because he's not going to demand many of the things you are willing to give him. And believe me, he won't show up for you to give him a hug or a kiss. He will not going to do that. So you will keep on shouting, I love the Lord. But there's what I call practical definitions. The love for God, all right, is not an emotional feeling. Shh, Lord, if I feel like seeing you right now and giving you a big hug, that's love for your wife. Do you understand my point? That's love for your husband. You can love your children like that. Those are the kind of, that's human feeling. But when it comes to God, the practical definition of love is what I want to show you here. From verse 5, let us read again. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words," this is how you know the love for God. "And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart." The man that loves God, the word of God is upon his heart. Now, how does he enter into hearts generally. He said, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the post of your house and on your gates. Now, let me explain something to you here. I wish somebody had an Amplified Bible. Let me quote it. I have a bit of it in my memory. What does Amplified say? Verse 7. No, from verse 6. He said, and these words that I'm commanding you today shall first be in your heart and in your mind. And you shall teach, and then you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. You shall do this by talking about it when you lie down, when you wake up. Do you understand that? When you sit down, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and that they shall be frontals on your forehead. Now, what I want to bring out here is, he said, you shall wet and sharpen. You know what they mean by wet and sharpen? You shall, you know, grind them so as to make them sharp for the intent that they might penetrate into the heart. How do you wet and sharpen them? By constantly talking about them. Do you get the point? Listen, how do I know the word of God? It's simple. It is very simple. It's by paying attention to it. He said, pay attention that you may gain understanding. What brings forth understanding into your heart is attention that you give to the word of God. It's amazing. When I was in university, we made an unwritten rule for ourselves. We didn't use to read novels. It was almost like a sin amongst us, all right, for you to find a Christian reading maybe Robert Ludlum. Now, Robert Ludlum is not a bad writer. I'm not sure I've ever read him, but or at least I've read Jeffrey Archer, I've read Leon Uris, okay? I don't think they write bad. They are some useless writers. But a lot of other writers who write sense and they write good things, history, Leon Uris writes based on history and stuff like that. They're not bad. I'm not saying they're bad. But guess what? When we're on campus, it was a problem with conscience to read one. I'm not joking about that. We couldn't. What did we read all the time? We used to take turns chasing Kenneth Hagin around. Have you finished? Have you seen the new Kenneth Hagin? Woman question. That book. A friend of mine collected the book, read it, went the next to their fellowship and preached everything that was inside. Look, that was the kind of thing we did. I told the story of once, the first day we heard the Kenneth Hagin tape. I have the message today. I got him years later. The mercy of God. We all gathered around the set like, God has come. Oh, worship the Lord. Cleanse thyself. The Lord is coming. No, I'm serious. It was with reverence. Nobody made noise. Nothing like, they come. I won't go easy myself. Which kind of peace go catch you when can Hagin they talk? It wasn't possible. It was not possible. We all gathered around the tape and we're there. It is not what the Lord can do, but what he yearns to do. F.F. Boswell used to say, we're there listening. Oosh, goose pimples. I remember the first day we saw, somebody watched Benny Hinn and brought a tape. And other people went to borrow TV and video player. And we all gathered, I remember in fellowship that day. It was ministering in South Africa, in Remacolis Church. And we saw operations of the Spirit, the type we had never seen before. See, trembling. What am I saying? If you wanted to read a novel when I was on campus, you had to hide it. It was a sign that you were not a serious believer. Now, you guys have been dogmatic. And yes, but you know the interesting thing? I wish people today would take the word of God as serious as we did. People go to church, an average Christian in church, they don't read any book. They don't know anything. Some of the questions Christians come to ask for counsel, my wife will tell you, because she used to be in a drama group at our church. Young people claim they are believers. They come to ask her for certain kinds of counsel. You want to beat the person talking. You want to take a cane and flog the girl who's asking for counsel concerning marriage. That, are you sure you're a Christian? Let me tell you the truth. You want to know God? God invented writing before the earth was made. and I can prove it to you. All you need to do is read Psalm 40 and read Psalm 139. You will see that they said, in thy books they were all written. In thy book they were written. Go on, Revelations, he said that books were opened. Books are in heaven. God wrote things down, scrolls. And he taught us to write on earth and said these things were recorded for our learning. It is a commandment I'm giving you today. If you say you are a Christian, you must start reading and you must start buying books. I don't lend my books to those who don't want to buy. Those days, I only used to exchange it with those who had. Not because of I was being selfish, but it showed that you had value for it. You were working. You had money. I remember those days when I would earn money. Little money. Later after my youth service, I wasn't working yet. My friend John and I will go to Ife Music in Lagos and The Cross. And we'll be picking books. I will pick books until transport money will finish. As God is my witness, I will calculate the distance, whether I can trek it. It's not too far now. I feel like in the evening. Bring her. Adam, join. Carry and go house. I remember them. Ken Hagin books them because they were imported from America. They were rather expensive. So we didn't use to buy them. One day I spoke to myself. So what is wrong with you? What is expensive about this book? So I went and borrowed money that day. I didn't have money. And I went and bought a few Ken Hagin books. They were very costly. Now they are much cheaper. I know things are better now. Then they were very costly. I bought them. Yes, took them home. And those are the till I see that book that they love the way to victory. I think that was the day I bought it. Or no, I bought a book that day. I remember very well. I said, no, they are costly. No, I have to start buying these things again. Because I used to buy a lot of the ones that were printed locally. But then all those materials, they are still in my house. They were so valuable to me. The first day I went to go and visit the young woman that I wanted to marry, who I now married now. You know, this is my wife. I was going to travel from Lagos to Benin. They said it was her birthday. You know the only gift I took along to introduce myself? I recorded a Bishop Oyedepo tape titled Go for Discoveries. That was how I used to show my intention. A tape. Now, you know the interesting thing about it? Why I told the story is that I thought it was valuable. Do you get my point? That was my feeling. I felt that serious people love things like that. Gifts I used to give people were books and tapes. You visited me, I gave you a tape for coming. Because to me, that was a valuable thing that I had. I remember once, and that was, I was working in a particular clinic, that was 93, 94. My MD and I, we talked someone. One day he told me that, you have to go and see Bishop Oyedepo. I said, Ogafo, he said, you have to go and see him. He went to Bishop and said, there's one young man that works in my clinic. He talks so much, Bishop sent for me. I'm serious about this. Why? Because before then, I listened to Bishop Oyedepo alone in the space of about 8 months for more than 500 hours. I'm not joking about that. This is all young men. This is Arsenal. You know when it's Arsenal, man, you're running around rubbish. Crap. The man shouting Arsenal, mind you. Ask him, have you ever bought a Ken Hagin book? No. Have you ever read the Derek Prince? No. Okay, this Pastor Banky, you listen, how many books do you have? None. All people want to do is steal free to radio. Listen to me on radio all you want. I don't believe you're a serious person until your money starts going into something. I'm serious. Free things. Anybody can claim they like it. Let's start charging money to tune in for the broadcast. Then you will know those who really love it. Anybody can claim that. Pastor Banky, oh God, your words are so powerful. Oh my God. I said, no wahala. Now it is 15 naira per broadcast. You will know whether you really get audience. Now that time you go know. Please, I'm explaining something to you. You cannot war your warfare effectively until you are armed with truth. Jesus is not a response to the devil. Then I no go bow. Leave me. I'm not going to bow. I'm not a bow. Did he say that? That is the first stage to bowing. Argument on whether you should bow or not is the first stage to bowing. Let me tell you, when we want to lead you into iniquity, the easiest way to throw them off is to quote a scripture. When you say, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think it's good, though. It's not a good thing, though. That one I had, you can be persuaded. You can be persuaded. But when you answer, ah, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. He said, after this, you make so much money, you will be rich. Ah, it is written. Such people are poor and wretched and naked and blind. They will leave you alone. And you cannot speak like that until you have been filled, do you get my point, with the knowledge of truth. Some of the things that we say that maybe we take for granted, and I say it all the time. He was in at night, which is, it really, really makes me laugh. Devil, it makes me laugh. The only issue I have with devil is temptation. That is, once I don't fall for your temptation, me and you, we don't have any pacts. Cross my window, you will know that devils can die. Do you get my point? Fly through my window. You will go to hell. The devil will go to hell early. As for any man who thinks he's an ugly man, a witch, or whatever it is, you know, those things to me, they are inconsequential. Only the man who wants to commit suicide will face the direction of my house and try to cast a spell. His first son that's not born again will die that day. That he might cry. What is my own with tonight? Let us pray against all the witches that are against us. Ignorant people, when they have gathered, I'm sure even God will shake his head and say, ah, hey, this people, they don't go to church, they don't listen to anything. Christians love to play. Say, this church, their music is good. Everybody go flock there. Music won't carry you to heaven. Music will not solve your problems. It is good for attracting you, but it will not help you. I say, I like this church. If you see, their church is very beautiful. They have the most, look. It's amazing the kind of thing that carry people to church. Oh, come and see there are dancers in that church. Ah, they are so professional. On Sunday, all the muguns will fly there too. They can go and watch dancers. Look, listen. Dancing will not solve your problems. You know what is going to help you? The knowledge of truth. He said, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. This is not going to fly into your head by itself. You have to spend your money. Go around bookshops and just go and explore. What I want to hear from you occasionally is, Pastor, good afternoon. Please, I saw this book last week. The name of the man is George Muller. Do you know him? And I say, yes, I think, yeah, it will be a good book. It will bless you. You show up and say, the last time we were in the bookshop, I saw this book. The man's name is Oswald Chambers. Do you think we read the book to be nice? I'll go. Read Oswald Chambers. It will help you. And now pray for me. I think witches are after me. Actually, I think they should catch you. Teach you a few lessons. Then you learn the word of God and your life go correct. Oh God, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Because of time, look, listen, let me just, let me leave this thing here, but I think I'll finish it next time, all right? I really, I wanted to finish it today. But don't worry, you know.